Wesley Coe was 93 years old when he died. I met him 5 years ago, visiting his home to interview him about his service in the Second World War. Coe received numerous medals in the war, participating in 6 different campaigns. He rose to the rank of captain in the 82nd Airborne Division, the 325th Glider Infantry, which means he and his men found their way into the war zones and participated in invasions not by parachute, but by flying in on unmotorized glider planes. Coe told me about growing up in Philadelphia. He said that when the war came, he was working for a local printer. The printer argued that Coe was needed at the business, and because of that, he probably could have avoided going to war at all. But as his friends and other young men his age were drafted and joined the fight, Coe decided he would go too. Here's his story.
Well, I was young and I was adventuresome, and I really didn't think much of the dangers, or it was an adventure to me. And we went over to Casablanca, North Africa, for our first stop. And our first glider mission was after the Italian campaign, trained in Ireland and then England for the assault in the Normandy. And that was our first mission. We did fight for 33 continuous days without replacements there, and finally went back to England for the next mission. And our casualties were heavy. We had a battalion of 600 men and 28 officers, and I think we went back to England with eight officers and about 240 men.
Were you scared?
Always. I don't know if anybody was. But I guess being an officer, you just had to keep it to yourself. After Normandy, we re-equipped in England, had replacements, new training, and then made the glider assault into Holland. From there, we went we're called in the Battle of Bulge in Belgium. Of course, that was a winter event. It was one of the coldest winters they'd had for a number of years. And we were involved from the 17th of December through January 10th, I think that was our involvement there. We were always knee-deep in snow for that period of time. We didn't have housing. We lived completely outside in the snow. We were able to lay down in the snow, fall asleep. That's the way we slept. Frostbite was prevalent. In this campaign, we were not equipped with snow uniforms or snow capes. We had the green fatigue, so we sort of stood out like sore thumbs in the snow. It was very bad weather. Visibility was very poor. We couldn't get the air support for a long time. And we were outgunned with the Germans because they had a lot of tanks that went over on us. The first thing that you're taught is that you have to accomplish your mission. So that means that the aid men are the ones to take care of the wounded. You were never supposed, as an infantryman, stop and help a wounded comrade. That was the medic's job. In fact, I can remember leaving my company commander at that time. He had his leg blown off, and we were jumping off on an attack, and I came up on him and saw what was happening, and all I did was just motion to a medic. There was another wounded man. I never saw him after that, but I don't think he thought too highly of me. The last thing in the war that we uncovered, the Oberlin concentration camp near Ludwigslust, and it was a sight that you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe that people could live that with just bone and flesh. You could see every bone in their body was that severe. And the way they were treated, I remember walking into this barracks, and all they had were cots lined up on a dirt floor. And the cots had a wire mesh mattress. There was nothing over the mattress, and that's where they made these people lay. And when they fed them raw turnips, they just throw them in on the floor, and that's what they ate. Then there were piles of ones that didn't survive, that they hadn't gotten rid of. Just heaped several hundred. What the division commander made the townspeople do, although they claimed they knew nothing about it, we made them dig the graves in a square, in the city town square. After the graves were dug, we made everybody in the town parade by the graves before they were covered. That was the end of the mission. So that was our duty, and to help all of them. I think that's about all I have to say.
When the war was over, Coe returned to Philadelphia and started his own printing business. Years later, he would write about his experience in his autobiography, On Silent Wings of Courage. He also was featured in Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation. Wesley Coe retired to Cape Cod when he was in his 70s. He spent much of his time here writing about and promoting the important work and exploits of the 325th Glider Infantry. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.